Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, December 13th, 2009. This week we're going to continue on with some of the stuff that I promised you. We finish up from last week, of course. Last week was a seminar we were finishing up on. Here we are in the rainforest today. We decided to go to the rainforest to finish this up because it's cold in California right now. So what we need to do right without any more ado is get this tape rolling on, which we can do right now and enjoy this stuff.
In the same chord, same notes, same scale. They sound different. That's because of the timbre. But music like a sitar amplifies sound consciousness in the body. So these new companies like Roland and Chord came up with these subtractive synthesis, arithmetic synthesis. I took that plus the Pleiadian shift, married it into a computer, and created my own sounds that I could play on a keyboard, which are also the synthesizers. All of the sounds that you hear that are from a synthesizer are sounds that didn't come in the store with the unit, sounds that I created, made them happen. The sounds also can be hooked to what are called transducers. And we can use the sounds, not playing them through music, but the straight sound and bring the power levels up, and we cause things to dematerialize and to levitate. It's also been demonstrated. Okay? So that technology is here. Okay? So now, where's the music at now? Well, we got it to the world behind the scenes. Now, Liara came and she says, now take it to the public. Make the whole world hear Pleiadian music. So, where are we today? Today we have just finished an album called From Andromeda with Love. Our band is called Voyager. It's an all-celebrity band. Everybody in there is a celebrity. They're all accomplished musicians. The thing is done, and starting next week, it goes into mixing and production. So a David Tickle-type producer has already been hired. A contract has already been negotiated. It is now being produced, and it will be shipped in a few weeks back to New York City. When it gets to New York City, it's going into a major label, and it's going to be played on the radio in the spring worldwide. Not nationwide, it's worldwide distribution. It's being laid out for this new album as we speak. So, that's the music, the evolution. It's coming to this planet. So don't think that this seminar is insignificant. You're part of an amazing thing that's happening right now. And the world's going to say, where did this come from? Because there's going to be merchandising, more books, all at once the world's going to see this. Boom! In the next few years.
I have 30 music stations on my cable TV. Okay?
Yeah.
On a 30-day stream. They play music 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
One of them is New Age, and that's by TCI.
Uh-huh.
You ought to be on them as well, because this is all new, and it's going through the whole United States, probably into other countries, I should imagine. And you should get on CD-ROM.
Yeah.
CD-ROM is outside. I've got several of those.
Yeah, we're heading
in. The World Wide Web on my internet.
Right.
Pull that through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The management company that's handling all this, is attuned into all that, and they're going to be heading.
I'll leave you my card and give it to them.
Yeah, I'll give it to them. Turn them on to them.
Because I'm in 200 countries in the world now, and have contracts with 31
What do you do?
I'm commercial network, internet international.
What is that?
Well, that's internet services throughout the world. It brings in World Wide Web and all these other facilities so that you reach 30 million people at one time in a small thing.
So they're transmitting music and stuff through there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Multimedia.
Yeah, they've asked me to do some stuff on there. I just haven't had the time for it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just... Yeah.
No, I'll do it by email. Well, you don't have email. We should get you online.
Yeah.
Somebody like American Online, you're $9 a month. You can access it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of... Norm Hayes has got science knowledge.
I've been in the Indian section of the internet on the newsletter guide and gone completely through it. And it's all sorts of times for 11 hours to go by, and I can hardly get out of my chair. And I go, oh my God, what have I done? I've just gotten absorbed
Yeah.
What people all over the world are saying about personal experience.
Yeah, it's all coming as one mind. So we're this thing is moving like really fast. Yeah.
How was the new frequency
to the
music?
How does it do that? First of all, you have to understand what DNA is.
I'll get into this after lunch a little bit more. But first of all, you have a microorganism known as microgenes. Okay? There are as many microgenes in one strand of DNA as there are stars in the sky, approximately 6 billion stars in the sky. Okay. The microgenes then begin to combine into what are known as genes, of which in the humans there are 1,250 genes, okay, per strand. These internet with one another like this, strangely and much like the Kundalini force, and they cross exactly 46 times. Everywhere they cross is a hard protein particle, which becomes an amino acid. So you end up with two sugars and two bases. Okay? These are called chromosomes. And they reproduce themselves exactly in their own image. The big thing with chromosomes is the spacing. Just let's say this is 13 centimeters, let's say here. This one is 15.8 centimeters over here. Okay? When you start looking at this DNA, what you start seeing here is a wavelength. And this wavelength of DNA actually has positive and negative oscillations to the point when it reaches a certain low frequency, it immediately splits and creates itself again twice. Okay? Each two times split is called a base pair. And there are so many base pairs per turn. Okay? Each one of these is a turn. And this then begins to spiral. So you have these splitting base pairs turning and spiraling at the same time. Okay? Within this is all genetic information. Nose, you're going to have a big nose, big ears, little ears, green eyes, white eyes, whatever color eyes you're going to have. All that information is there. No two individuals are the same. Okay? This is the heritage, the splitting of this DNA. When you look, when a baby is first born, okay, there are 46 base pairs per turn, meaning each strand of DNA has 46 of these splitting things going on simultaneously. If you were to make this 41 base pairs per turn, you would start the gradual destruction of the DNA until there's zero base pairs per turn, right? If you were to take and cut down from the baby that's being born the 46 base pairs per turn and reduce that to 32 base pairs per turn, the child would be born with wrinkly skin and aging already. You see what I mean? Because the intelligence isn't there for a complete helix of the whole complete cellular reproduction. That's the aging process. The planet has a vibration to it out here. Its vibration is, as we said, tuned to the growth-resistant generation. Okay? In a mother, when the mother is pregnant, the spiraling starts at zero with the sperm and the egg meeting, and as soon as the fetus starts, immediately the placenta is created as a barrier between the earth out here, and the mother and her toxins, the placenta, and that feeds the fetus. Okay? So the mother goes placenta to the fetus. You follow me? The placenta is the closest thing there is to a purifying station in consciousness on the whole planet. Because the baby has to constantly grow until it's born. And so the DNA has to spiral up until it reaches maximum potential of the 46 chromosomes, which each chromosome then gives a set of 46 base pairs per turn. Does everybody understand that? The moment that the child is born, the moment the child takes the first breath of air, the DNA immediately breaks down to 32 base pairs per turn, and the child starts aging from the very first breath. Okay? As a matter of fact, the transition from the child, from the mother's womb to its first breath, the child has lost 25% of its lifespan in less than a few seconds. Okay? Now what happens? The child is 18 years old. The child being 18 years old has exactly that many base pairs per turn. At age 18, the human body has lost 50% of its life. And you can see that in human females. Because human females, really, their beauty is really from about 14 to about 23. Just about, that's when females are probably considered the most attractive, gorgeous, perfectly, can abuse themselves and still be pretty, and then they got to start working at it to maintain it, okay? So you can see that. By the time you're 50 years old, if you're a tourist, you're down to 6 base pairs per turn. You're 98% gone, okay? That's how humans function on this world, and that's pretty sad. What sound does, sound comes in here and reinforces by pressure waves the proper spacing of the DNA at all the different frequencies. That's what sound does. If you want to know, that's the answer to your question. What sound does the DNA? It maintains the spacing.
Well, why do some people like some sound and some like another?
Because if you put the spirit in, okay, the spirit is like an herb. There's all kinds of spices, right? So there's all kinds of DNA and all kinds of spices to make them work. You know, in our vitamins, for example, when you're 18 years old, your body stops producing DHEA, D-H-E-A, dehydroepiestrone. When it stops producing DHEA, your body has a tendency now to take simple carbohydrates and sugars and turn them into fats, and you start getting fat. So they found, our society found, that if we put DHEA back into our diets, people start living longer, 30%. This was done at Sloan Kettering, Scripps, a lot of places. But what did society say? The FDA comes in and says, we don't want DHEA in people's diets. So they made it illegal. Why? Because people live longer. They don't want that. In our vitamin formula, we use DHEA. They never caught us. Okay, let's just give you some idea of some of the stuff that goes on in DNA. When you get into the Andromedan science, you know, Weara told me that the whole world would know about Andromedans in 1995. So this is, it's a year from now, it's not even that, it's a few months. She didn't say when in 95, but so far everything we've said has come to pass. I don't have any doubt what she says. She's blowing my mind every... More Pleiadians blew minds, but Andromedans disintegrate them, and that's fine. So, you know, it's real interesting to see what's coming around the pike right now. And DNA... for the chakras. And this power supply has to be taken care of. Okay?
Well, we'll stop the tape now because it had reached the end, and the rest of that you can hear from last week. I just wanted to finish that loop out. So now we'll go into the next phase here. A nice show. with more info.
That kind of ability. They are a structure that within the confines of their geometric domain will produce this tranquil feeling, this relaxing feeling. The endocrine system in the human body will respond to that. Whenever the endocrine system in the body is in contact with a field of tranquility, it will, by a resonance factor, by a principle of resonance or natural attunement, automatically identify with that. And that's why, for example, when you put a gold pyramid on someone's head, that they'll go into a relaxed state immediately. They'll go right into the alpha state. And what happens is, on a biochemical level, in the brain is quite amazing, because the brain can be looked at as a series of switches, switches that are sometimes normally in their inoperative state open, and these are receptor-type switches, and they're waiting for a stimulus to close them, or there are switches that are normally closed, and they are waiting for a stimulus to open them. An example of a switch that is normally closed would be one that is working with our subconscious faculties, like our breathing. You know, something is causing us to breathe, our heart to beat. When you open that switch, the heart might stop beating for a moment, like you hear the expression, the heart skips a beat. This could be done by a large amount of adrenaline coming in and the body preparing itself for shock, for example, these kinds of things. As far as a receptor, where the switch is closed by a particular stimulus, like, for example, when the acetylcholine goes in, this would close the switch, or different hormones that we've talked about go in, they will close the switch. The rate at which these switches are closed and other switches are open determines the rate at which the brain can attune itself to these parallel universes or the side continuums. Now, at this point, when the proper stimulus is being applied to the brain, use of LSD, for example, as a stimulus to affect the clock switching rate of our brain. This would be a drug, but even a natural, like just meditating, for example, it is a source of stimulation. Or exercise, for example, where the adrenaline is pumped up and the corticosteroids arrive at the receptor sites in the brain, giving us the feeling of energy. Regardless of what the stimulus was, the fact is the brain is going to respond in a certain way. Now, the next thing is that once this brain activity starts or stops, depending on whether we're turning something on or turning something off, then we have to have coherence with the rest of the body. And the rest of the body has to deal with the body itself. For example, the spinal cord. The spinal cord has in it several different vertebrae. It's got approximately 28 main vertebrae going up and down, and intertwined in these vertebrae are different structures of nervous tissue, fibril nervous tissue. And energy moves very fast up and down the spinal cord. And it goes in rates as slow as 200 miles an hour in the case of a neuromotor response motion, like say from the brain telling the foot to move, or you're getting a sensation on your hand of hot and cold. These are slow responses up into the frequencies approaching and exceeding the speed of light. And in the case of psychic experimentation or paranormal behavior or even in meditation, it's moving at the speed of light because we come synchronous with the universe in meditative states. So what happens is the brain now has this, the brain is a series of switches and the spinal cord becomes like a linear accelerator.
Dr. Bell,
yes.
Excuse me for interrupting. We do have a call in line for Lance that I believe has a question for you. I thought we might go to him now. Lance, you're on the air with Dr. Fred Bell.
Okay, thank you. Doctor,
yes.
I was curious. I had heard you on the radio about a month or two ago, and I sent away for some information.
Right.
And I was curious, what was the difference? I know the plating on the pyramids is different between the power dome and the ray dome.
Right.
Or the ray dome. What's the difference in materials, and how do these differences affect the body?
Okay, what happens is, like we're just now talking about, the materials on the pyramids will cause the energy, they will accentuate or de-accentuate one of seven different vibratory frequencies on the pyramid structure itself. For example, if we use silver, silver runs up in a reflective frequency. It has what it does in the brain, for example, when silver is brought onto the body, like silver jewelry,
level, this would cause, for example, amino acids to join and produce protein, okay, because they work on a reflective basis. On a mental level, if amino acids, because of the metal silver being brought to the body or in the body, will cause things to reflect and couple, then what happens is when amino acids couple, they begin to form hormones. The hormone process then will stimulate itself, and hormones will be formed, hormones will be released, and hormones will go to the brain. When these hormones go to the brain, because we're talking about silver, the types of hormones, the types of proteins that are being affected, will cause an enhancement of the mental faculties on the brain. So when we use silver, for example, the brain is influenced to stimulate. It's brought up in this energy field. Now, if we use titanium, titanium is a what I would call a paranormal metal. It really falls in the rare earth metals. And the metals, minerals fall into three categories in the body. The basic low-frequency minerals would be iron, copper. Those are base functions in the body. The mid-range frequencies are the reflective ones, like the silver, and the high-frequency ones, like titanium, have powers, they cause powers in our body to become right up into the side continuum, meaning that your consciousness would appear to be expanding by the influence of titanium.
Okay, my question, is the power dome made of titanium?
Yes, it's made out of pure titanium. It's not used, when we build pyramids, for example, stainless steel would absorb energy, okay? So we don't use stainless steel. It would absorb its own energy in a pyramid shape. Mild magnetic steel, like in the ray dome and the fire dome, and the pyramid dome, are a more affordable metal, and they give people, along with the precious metal plating, a definite experience. But there are some individuals that want what I would call a mega experience. They want a noticeable, dramatic experience with the pyramid. In other words, Americans can't wait. They want to feel it now. They want to get a buzz. They want some kind of an effect. Titanium has that effect when worn on the body. It's a very expensive metal. We don't see as much use. For example, it would be far better to make titanium watch bands than it would be gold watch bands, because titanium has an accelerating effect. And a titanium made gold, in other words, if we gold plated a titanium watch band, it would have a much better effect on the body than a solid gold watch band does. And most people, for example, in watch bands, wear them on the wrong hand and block the heart meridian on the left. You should always wear a watch, for example, on the right side of your body. Okay? Same thing with the titanium pyramid. When you wear a titanium pyramid or put it on your head, the effect is instantly noticeable by most people. Everyone that's ever put one on their head gets some kind of an immediate reaction from it, because it accelerates the most finest part of our etheric part of our brain, the most sensitive. It enhances our greatest sensitivities, if you would phrase it that way. It is a very expensive pyramid, but it is really the best one to have.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's funny that you should say that about the watch band, because most people who are right-handed, like myself, wear their watches on their left wrist. And I don't know why, but for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been wearing it on my right wrist just because it feels better.
That's exactly right. Because what happens is there are energies coming in the body on the right side of the body and being discharged on the left side of the body. And what happens is if you put jewelry that's got a closed circuit on the left side of the body, you're blocking a discharge and your body will build up. You'll start to swell up internally. And what happens is you can hurt your heart by wearing it on the left side. Usually what happens is you'll get an erratic heartbeat at some point from wearing it over a long period of time. My watch bands, typically I wear them on the right side if I wear a closed band at all. And most of the time I wear a felt band. It's not as fashionable, but it's a whole lot better for your health. Even the band, I do wear a wristband on the left-hand side, but it's open. It doesn't complete a path. In Tibet, for example, they make a bracelet of twisted copper and silver in alternate layers, which has a healing effect on the body, which is worn on the left side, but it is not closed. It does not enclose the entire wrist. It goes about two-thirds around the wrist and is open to allow these electrical meridians to happen. It's common sense. If you were to take a plug, like an ordinary plug coming off of an appliance that goes into the wall, and somewhere along the wire, which is insulated, wrap up a piece of steel around the wire and bring a Gauss meter around, you would find that where you have wrapped a piece of wire around the plug cord, you'll get an eddy current, or a back EMF, back electromotive force.
This is an actual current blockage. It acts like what's called a choke. And any electrician knows that. Any engineer knows that. It's the same thing in the body. You've got lots of electricity moving around down the meridians of your body through the axon nerve network in the body, and it's wrong to block these things.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
Between the two, radome and the power dome, are the effects the same? And how long would it take to wear the radome before you could feel the same effects of the power dome?
Okay. The radome and the power dome have similar effects, but the power dome is much, much stronger. Measuring it with dowsing equipment like Vern Cameron or Peter Tompkins, which people use to measure the energies of, you know, the depth of well water in a well or oil, that type of equipment, shows the power dome to have an approximate 8 to 10 foot field around it, whereas the radome has about a 4 foot field. So this means from an energy standpoint that the power dome is probably 30 or 40, maybe 50 times more powerful, because energy is not directly proportional over distance, it's inversely square. So the power dome, you would never get the effect with a radome that you'll get with a power dome. The psychic powers that come or are developed by wearing a power dome are incredible. I mean, if you wear a power dome, for example, 8 or 10 hours straight, you will have no problem at all going another 8 or 10 hours with no sleep and no you'll feel no tiredness in the body. It's an incredible experience wearing one of these things. Now, if your body is toxic, the chances are you won't be able to wear a power dome that length of time initially, because your body will have to go through a lot of changes to be able to handle that kind of energy. Typically what will happen is you'll wear it maybe for half an hour or 2 hours and you get a headache, because the liver now will be full of toxins, so you would have to take it off, let the liver recover, take vitamin C, and drink a lot of water. But once you work through this syndrome of wearing a power dome, you'll find in most cases, now we did a experiment with over 1,000 people wearing this particular device, and everyone experienced the same thing. Number one, your body will go through a balance of what's called the hypothalamus, and you'll have a tendency, if you're underweight, to gain weight, and if you're overweight, to lose it, because it balances the emotional brain-mind. The second thing that it does is it causes you to begin to remember how you felt when you were younger. It increases, almost everyone wearing a power dome over time begins to remember how they felt when they were younger, like high school or grade school. And that then causes feelings that have been encrusted or pushed away that we had as children or younger adults to come back to the surface. And the main thing in life is, you can ask yourself, is what is better than a good feeling? I don't know of anything in life itself, in life experience, better than a good feeling. So you start to feel good. When you feel good and you start feeling these feelings that you might not have felt, you know, recently, that you felt when you were younger, what happens is theoretically the aging process is reversing itself in your body, and your memory then begins to enhance, because out of this good feeling comes memory. Memory always comes when you're quiet, when you're relaxed, when you're pushed or stressed. It's hard to get the brain and the memory to work properly. So the memory begins to enhance itself many, many, many times over with the power dome. We did some experiments also with students in class, and we find that the students wearing power domes in class would always get higher grades when they did their tests, because they had a much better recall. We did this at the University of Southern California, Santa Barbara, a few years back.
Okay, Lance?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Let me remind everyone, they are listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show on your talk alternative, 93.5 KFOX, Redondo Beach. Dr. Bell?
Thank you, Jim. Anyway, going back to where we were, the spinal cord, what happens is the spinal cord acts as a linear accelerator, and if you don't, if it's not blocked, okay, you know, blocked being vertebrae are out of place. When we stress ourselves, for example, the spinal cord begins to get out of place. When the spinal cord gets out of place, we begin to get blockages, electrical blockages, which then lead to degenerative organs. I mean, any chiropractor will tell you that if certain vertebrae are open, then corresponding organs are going to function properly because they're getting ample amounts of electricity. But because we're in an environment of stress, we have a tendency to get tense. We have a tendency to get our backs, you know, out of shape. We need to adjust ourselves. We need to stretch ourselves to get our backs back in shape. Now, I'm not trying to get into a stress conversation on the vertebrae and the back, but this is important to understand this is happening. Now, assuming that standing upright, we have a good posture, and our back has no, you know, out-of-place vertebrae. Then what happens is the electricity goes through the spinal column at a much higher rate of speed with a lot less resistance than it normally does. When this happens, the electricity comes up from the base of the spine, which is called, you know, by the mystics, the lower chakra. It comes from the base of the spine at a high rate of speed and arrives at the base of the brain. When it arrives at the base of the brain, this electricity then is dispersed through all the neurons in the brain and bombarded, literally is bombarded on the gray matter all over the brain. So what happens is, if you were to construct an electronic analogy of this, you can imagine, you know what a television picture tube looks like, right?
Of course, a cathode ray tube.
Right, a cathode ray tube. Well, just imagine that the spinal cord in the body is the neck of the cathode ray tube with the grid, the anode, and the accelerating mechanism in it. And imagine that the brain is the screen of the television set itself. Now, in a television tube, if you have a coated cathode or you have low high voltage, you get a distorted image, you get poor contrast ratios, you get a screen that's so dim that you can't see anything on it, so you have to turn the lights in the room down because the tube is theoretically low output. Whereas if you have a healthy functioning cathode ray tube, you have a higher rate of acceleration of electrons going into the tube department, and a much harder bombardment of the phosphorus by the electrons, and you get a much higher output of radiation, and as a result, you have a high contrast ratio, you have a clear image, and you have a bright picture. The human body works exactly the same way. If the spinal electrical currents are working properly, then this energy comes up the spinal cord, bombards the brain, and actually sprays energy all over the top of the head. And the body has the ability, the consciousness has the ability to actually gain imagery from this process. So you begin to see now, from an acceleration point of view, from an enhancement point of view, how the brain actually works. It actually is electricity bombarding other parts of the brain. In this case, instead of having phosphorus, we have these switches that are opening and closing. But the fact is, this is taking place, and the rate this is taking place, you know, which is all the beauty of, and the wonders of biochemistry. You know, I guess the closest thing to that today would be these new quartz LED television tubes that they have out now that don't require much high voltage. But it's the same thing. You know, all science that man is expressing on the physical plane is nothing more than principles within his own nature that he's expressing outwardly. And so you begin to see now why it's important to have a perfect erect posture. It's important to have a clear field of view in the brain, a clean brain, not full of toxins. Because if you were to put, you know, contaminate the gas, for example, or a leakage in a tube, it would cause problems. The same thing in the brain. If it's full of toxins coming in from the lung system and being deposited all over, the brain, when it receives these electronic frequencies, is not going to respond. You're going to get poor imagery. You're going to be asleep. You're going to be unconscious. Well, what the pyramid does, when it's placed on the top of the head, it actually draws the energy up the spine at a high rate of speed, and it does it in such a way that's harmonious with the body. It does it in a rhythm with the body. So as this drawing actually, as it comes up the spine, what happens is you actually get a much clearer brain response. Now, a few years ago in Chicago, there were some chiropractors. You know, everything that I'm talking about and have been talking about has been challenged repeatedly by the orthodox field, and every challenge has been met with success in every experiment. So I'm not sitting here trying to, you know, bring about something that I have not over 20 years experience with. A few years ago in Chicago, there was a group of chiropractors came to one of our conventions that we were having there, and they brought with them an electrostatic device. And this is a device that chiropractors can buy. I don't know what it was called, but it measures the rate at which the energy moves up and down the spine by electrostatic movement. It's made by a company over in Germany, and they are leased to chiropractors. They aren't even allowed to sell them in this country. They're allowed to lease them. This is the way their marketing program. But it's a very sensitive device. And what they would do is they would put the device on different vertebrae on the head, and then they would put the pyramid on the person's head, and they would measure the time from the placement of the pyramid on a person's head till the particular vertebrae that they were measuring would respond from an energy. They would start receiving electrical static energy. And we went through a series of tests with the different pyramids, and we found that regardless of where, what position and what vertebrae on the spine, didn't matter whether it was a lumbar or, you know, it didn't matter where it was, that with the power dome on, it almost immediately responded electrically, which absolutely blew their minds. That's why a lot of chiropractors today use pyramids as part of their relaxing therapy for their patients. So if we were actually able to measure this electronically with this phenomenon that I'm talking about. And when this imagery starts to coincide, because the universe works the same way, atoms work the same way, energy within the atom is the same thing as I'm describing within the human body. The way that energy comes to the atom from the center of the source of energy, wherever that is in the cosmos, to animate light, to make light glow, to make things happen, it comes in the same way. It moves from within the universe, from another dimension, to our dimension, through the hydrogen atom, if you're looking at it through an atomic ray, out into from subatomic particles to atomic particles in the same manner, which then animates the electron. This is the way the energy comes. It's like a donut comes. It's like a mushroom shape or a donut shape. The energy comes from the center to the outside and propels or animates the atom. And so when the brain and the spinal frequencies begin to parallel the frequencies of the way the actual animation of the atomic rates take place, we begin to see clairvoyantly into things. Our eyes can become like microscopes, for example, or telescopes, depending on how we focus them. And we're able to start seeing the actual energies behind the changes that take place in our lives or events that take place in our event horizon. As the masses, as more and more people begin to become aware of this, it begins to empower this whole phenomenon. And what happens is when this power, this empowerment takes place, we begin to get feedback. In other words, there's so much energy now coming from the atoms, from ordinary atoms, that what was once an ordinary atom now becomes a radioactive atom. And this doesn't mean it's a harmful form of radiation. This is a form of radioactivity that actually moves and makes everything alive. And this is what's called the astral powers of the astral plane.
Well, we'll move on to the next one. Not sure if this is continued on the other side or not, but we'll find out here in about a minute.
We found the pyramids placed in all directions with the tops of them, the apex is tied together to the apex of every other one. So there's a wire suspension system within inside of this device. And when you do this, it causes the energy to be drawn in and neutralized. And so we put that in conjunction with wherever we had a solar orb or wherever we had a septagrid in a room, we would always put a star orb in the opposite end of the house in that structure. And the star orb would run, we would run a stainless steel wire from the star orb into the ground. And this would cause the negativity to go back into the earth. So any negative energies that were drawn out of a person or an environment would be put back into the earth. And then realize that energy cannot be created or destroyed, but it can be transmuted. So what was happening is this device is acting as a rectifier. Strangely enough, one of the large devices, a great big one, because of its neutralizing characteristics, ended up in a film, one of the James Bond films used one of my devices, a film called Moonraker, if you remember that one. And the device was, if you remember the film, it was when James Bond was captured by the bad guy and they were on the space station out in space. And they showed him this cloaking device that made the space station become invisible to radar because it had this neutralizing characteristic. And Pinewood Studios has used a lot of my devices over the period of years. I think the people over there, the artists and the producers, used them in their offices or whatever, so they end up writing them into their film. So this device was actually pictured in the James Bond film Moonraker as a neutralizing device. And so that device, it gained its fame in a lot of areas, and typically medical clinics and would put them in, dental offices would put them in, and the first way that they would be used would be, they would be placed in the lobbies, and they would be suspended, usually with plants, because they are a very attractive looking structure, and nobody was telling anybody what they were for. As far as the people coming in were concerned, they were just a piece of gold and pyramid shaped form of artwork. Because the theories are too far advanced for most people on this planet at this time.
So they in turn would just look at this thing and they would feel good looking at it, not knowing why. And this, of course, would release apprehension. We also used them in some chiropractors' clinics in the lobbies, so that what would happen is when the chiropractor would need to adjust the person, instead of having to bring them in and get all the street tension off of them, that means they set you in a room for 10 or 15 minutes, you sit there by yourself, and then they put you up on the bed, and then they let you lay another 5 minutes, and then they make the adjustments. That might be 20 minutes in the room before you get maybe 45 seconds worth of adjustments. What the chiropractor here is doing is getting rid of what's called street tension. And this is all the apprehension of coming in for the medical treatment and all these kinds of things based upon, you know, the lack of the familiarity because of the way we conduct ourselves on the street in our daily lives. So by putting these devices in the lobbies, they were able to cut this period of street tension release down to about 75%. So this then, from a dollar standpoint, the chiropractor's volume could go up. He could see more patients, but it also meant for the patient a better, more relaxed series of adjustments, a better response to chiropractor's work. So these are the kinds of devices that over a period of years we began to bring to the marketplace, which led us up into the newer technology, which we'll talk about sometime in the future. And I'll be putting together some pamphlets on the newer technology. But right now, I feel important for all the listeners out there just to become familiar with things that have been around for over 10 years now from our production lines. And most people aren't even aware of them. This is like brand new, so we've got to really concentrate on these kinds of things. Now, the other, getting back just to the simple pyramids themselves again, we talked about the fire dome and the ray dome and the pyridome. A lot of people wonder exactly how these things work on the body. In other words, why does one pyramid have one effect on the body and one other pyramid have another effect on the body? And the answer is fairly simple. If you realize that our body has seven different sets of endocrine centers, or endocrine glands, and these glands each have about seven different sets of hormones in them. And the glands are like capillaries, and a capillary is a type of gland that will release its hormones or open its walls up to let things pass through its membrane when it is in a relaxed state. It has to be relaxed. And the only thing that will cause the capillary to relax will be a lowering of the electrical pressures that are causing it to remain rigid, because the capillary on one level is a muscle. So you have to control the muscular contractions and expansions of these muscle walls that form these capillaries in order for them to release or secrete their hormones out into the body, which then the blood will carry them eventually up into the blood-brain barrier, where they will have an effect on consciousness. Jim probably remembers at the seminar that we had a while back where I went into great detail about how the hormones are actually formed from food substances. And when you form a hormone, for example, you take vasopressin. Vasopressin is a hormone stored in the pituitary body, and when it's secreted into the brain, it causes the brain to change its switching speeds. And when that happens, it causes you to become mentally inclined. Your mental capacity begins to enhance itself, and you begin to get motivated to do things on a mental level. Unfortunately, pollutants like smog, primarily smog, vastly depletes the supplies of lysine and arginine in the body that are converted over to vasopressin. And as a result of that, even if you were to get the popular stimulus in the pituitary region, one of which being is negative ionization, oftentimes the hormone reservoir is depleted in the vasopressin because of the depletion of the smog in their environment. That's why in the formulas, for example, like Excalibur, we put larger amounts of lysine and arginine in them and encourage people to take this formula on an empty stomach, because this helps, you know, by that manner, mental clarity to happen when you're ready to think about things and concentrate on things. So, the endocrine system works several ways, but one way that it works is by vibration. And the endocrine glands are basically capillaries. And these capillaries rely on vibrations of the proper nature, the one that's tuned to this particular cavity or size that the endocrines are composed of, for the releasing of the hormones. And then, of course, the capillary does not release a hormone directly like a pipe into the bloodstream. It has to go by osmosis, whereby the membrane layers relax and the hormones flow out of the capillaries into the body and are picked up at the proper points by the bloodstream. So the endocrine gland system is oftentimes called the duct And we have seven different glands in the body, starting from the head centers and going down into the base of the spine, which the base of the spine is the lowest center in the body, the sexual center, reproduction energy part. Now, what has happened is, if you study the effects of consciousness in our body, all consciousness on one level only manifests itself or works or releases itself into our lives when we are in a state of balance and relaxation. And consciousness is a thing that grows because we as people, we as beings of energy in the universe, experience growth by harmony or disharmony within our own spheres. And when our spheres, our worlds, like my world, interfaces with another person like Jim's or the listeners out there, when our worlds interface, this causes an expansion or growth because of the encounter of the energies coming across each other. So this then causes more experiences to happen, and as the population of the planet gets larger, as there are more and more people having experiences with, like, there's many more people living today than there were, say, 100 or 200 years ago on the surface of the Earth. So as this happens, consciousness is said to expand, and we reach out, we explore, we move on. For example, a few hundred years ago, we left Plymouth, Massachusetts, we left England and arrived in Plymouth, Massachusetts. This was a growth factor of expansion. Now we're going to the moon. Soon we'll be going to the stars. This type of expansion brings new technologies, new science. Well, along the way, spirit allows our bodies to change through the actions of science on our body. And along the way, we began to cause some problems that it affected our growth rate. So as an alternative, people began to turn to different things to try to escape. You know, religion was enhanced, drugs were enhanced, many things became escape methods. When this really wasn't the answer was to look within, focus within, and find out from within how we could bring about balance and harmony again. Now, if you look at science fiction, okay, like in the earlier days, in the 40s, for example, science fiction portrayed as an ultimate step, man going to the moon. Today, a science fact is that man has been to the moon. You know, this kind of thing. Now we're looking at science fiction again as, you know, producing the ultimate human being, bionic man, bionic woman, superwoman, all these kinds of things being portrayed, and even adults and children alike getting into this nature. Then you hear about the altered states that are taking place in a few individuals. People walking on hot coals, people bending metal with their minds, clairvoyants working for police departments, touching a piece of material that was from a person that disappeared, and then the person clairvoyantly saying where that disappeared person has gone to. Those kinds of things. These are expanded states of consciousness, which a few individuals today are able to exhibit and demonstrate and share with the world. Unfortunately, for most people, we're still having a problem existing in society and existing within our own nature.
Dr. Bell? Yes.
I have a question concerning that.
Okay.
How do we know that we're evolving towards that? Instead of, isn't it possible that those are abilities that we had to help us survive during the evolutionary process, and now those are kind of like the appendix? In fact, it is devolving, I guess the word would be.
Well, you can see that we're evolving in that way because the Earth is primarily fourth kingdom now. You know, first kingdom mineral, second kingdom vegetable, third kingdom animal, fourth kingdom human. Fifth kingdom is spiritual, you know, going in towards other dimensions, for example. Having the consciousness or awareness to have an understanding that we are multifaceted beings. That's the trend. The certain individuals, for example, that have had that experience became the gurus. And there were many, many people within their own nature that were seeking this, or the gurus would have had no followers. So the evidence could be said in one way that new religions, new followers, new gurus, new leaders of different types became, you know, involved and became publicly noticeable, and more of these cults or sects began to form. Did you follow from that point of view?
Yes. I still don't think that's strong evidence, though, that it's not atavistic in nature. It's not an atavism, a throwback, in a way, to an old culture. But certainly we can hope that it's not.
Well,
we are progressive.
Well, you can say it's a throwback to an old culture. For example, during the Atlantean times, 12,000 years ago, when Poseidon existed as the capital of Atlantis off the coast of Florida, okay? The superstition then was, people were so superstitious, and this could be looked at as a throwback, if you will, they were so superstitious that what happened was they began, you know, materialization in Atlantean times was easy. I mean, many people could do it. Vision into other dimensions was much easier then than it is now. However, the priesthood of that time began to misuse it, and there was not enough experience. The culture at that point did not have enough physical plane or physical manifestation experience to be solid in the grounds that they were in, and they began to lose their centers, which allowed things to happen that couldn't happen today because we're more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me from a superstitious point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're supposed to take a synthesis and be able to become inter- and multiple-dimensional beings as well as physical beings. That is the synthesis of today. And our bodies then will produce hormones that, when these go into the bloodstream, will cause these kinds of changes to become natural for us. You follow?
Yes, sir.
But what happens is, and what is happening is, because of pollution and distortion, when the body seeks to make these changes, it only gets a barrage of negativity and negative energies from pollution, and this then causes psychotic diseases and tremendous sexual inversion on a spiritual principle, which leads into homosexuality. You know, this is one area that's becoming quite apparent. Not saying that's good or bad, but just saying that's fact, and that's what's happening, and that movement is spreading right now because of an inversion on certain spiritual principles, which does not allow people to properly synthesize the law of opposites, you know, the law of polar opposites, in one case being male-female energy. A quick example of us moving into interdimensional or multidimensional lifestyles is the movie that just came out called The Philadelphia Experiment. Have you seen that one yet?
No, I'm familiar with the book by Charles Berlitz, is it not?
Right. I have a copy of it here that he autographed for me, as a matter of fact, I met him at a conference once. So what they've done now is they've made who knows whether it's true or not, but what they've done is they've made a movie out of one of the men that disappeared, what could have happened to the lives of one of the men that disappeared.
Dr. Bell, I think we should give a brief synopsis of the story, and basically, if I remember the story correctly, it was about a dematerialization of an entire battleship?
Right. What it was, the cruiser, what happened was in 1943, the U.S. Navy, see, in the old days they had these minesweepers, and the minesweeper was a semi, it's like John Wayne used to own one of those, he converted over to a pleasure boat. The minesweeper was a semi-wooden ship that had a large magnetic apparatus in the entire bottom section of the thing throughout the entire length of the keel. And what this did was detected mines, and it didn't set the mine off because the metal of the ship would set the mine off, and the wooden ship would not go off, and the detector would then disarm, you know, pick up on the mine, disarm it, and then it would say for a fleet to come, okay, because people in World War II determined to set up this mine. Well, what the Navy began to do in about 1939, and they were working even, matter of fact, the old cohort of mine, Werner von Braun, was involved in this project, they began to develop equipment that would make ships invisible to mines, meaning that they could run right across one of these mines and it wouldn't even go off, so that would eliminate the need for a minesweeper. That led into an experiment, which about 1943, they played with it in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, what they called the Philadelphia Experiment, but that led into a situation whereby they were trying to make ships' radar invisible. In other words, invisible to enemy radar. And the actual experiment was performed in the Philadelphia Harbor, whereby the ship with a special electronic apparatus put up a screen to become invisible to radar. And what happened is, during the experiment, the whole ship became visible. And they didn't know that it was going to become invisible. And it fell into a time warp. And when it returned from the time warp, it briefly materialized in a Navy in a New Jersey shipyard, and then came back again in Philadelphia. But when it returned in Philadelphia, and by the way, when it disappeared, it went into this kind of a greenish haze. And when it returned, so some of the crew members had disappeared. They never returned with the ship. Some of them were actually embedded in the ship itself. I mean, it was a whole thing that has to do with time travel. When you dematerialize and rematerialize something, things change if things aren't held in equilibrium. And the film 1984 in the desert in Nevada, where the Navy was then consigning another kind of dematerialization experiment. And that was the basis of the film. The fact is that we do live in a multi-dimensional universe, and right next door are other universes, parallel universes. It's a good discipline for people to try. If they really want to know, for example, the negative effects of electricity going through wires and incandescent lighting, okay? If you were to have in your home an evening where you just use candlelight and use no electrical lights at all, the entire feeling that you'll have in your house during the time that the candles are burning versus if you had electrical lights of any nature on is entirely different. Have you ever tried that?
No, I haven't, as a matter of fact.
Really?
No, never have.
You should try it sometime. Just reading a book, for example, if you sit down and burn two or three of those long, thin candles and read a book, you'll find that reading by candlelight will cause your assimilative and intuitive powers to be much higher during the period of time that you're reading the book versus if you had a regular light on. Just try it. It's amazing. I do a lot of reading at night by candlelight in a small little study that I have because I've found that I can assimilate a whole lot more in the brain. See, what people don't realize is that these other dimensions of energy that exist throughout the universe are very harmonious. Until we disturb them, they're pretty much balanced. It's like if you were to leave a field alone, plants would grow, weeds would grow, whatever would grow, it would grow. There would be growth there. But when we start plowing it and distorting it, it changes. The changes happen. We start putting fertilizers on it, the soil erodes. We start putting insecticides on it, and what happens is we damage the genetic characteristics of the soil so that we get plants, corn, things like that. They don't taste properly anymore. The same thing exists with energy fields. Energy fields are very, very subject to thought. And as a matter of fact, in modern physics now, they're finally starting to realize that the experiment and the experimenter are one and the same. And, like, you can take the same experiment with a group of scientists, each one performing the same experiment, and if you had 12 people doing the same experiment, your chances are you'd probably get 8 to 10 different results from the same experiment, because it all comes from a point of observation, a point of background, you know.
Now, Dr. Bell, hasn't that been found primarily on the quantum level, but not so much on the everyday level?
Even on the everyday level, what will happen is the personality will enter into it. It's amazing. I remember back from my physics and chemistry classes that the differences that people would get. You know, it's like if everybody puts salt, if you take a glass of water, put salt in it, for example, everybody might say it was salty. But you'd be surprised. Somebody will say it tastes like metal. You know, even a simple experiment like that, you'll get some deviation. Which there's nothing wrong with that, because the essence of the universe comes from our individual, God-given individuality, interpreting these different essences of these different...
We're running out of time here. We'll continue this one next week. So you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Give us a call at 1-800-729-2603 for your comments or whatever. So.